yesterday I talked about freedom to express oneself, to express oneself really to unite with form and with pattern and with meanings and with emotions and dancing. Forgot singing yesterday. Potting, welding, weaving, knitting, painting, playing, crocheting, sculpting, polishing, somehow to get free to unite oneself with part of the world and to produce a song or a pot or something. That's to put yourself in something, to be free to do that. And the question is, what keeps us from doing that? And I use as the illustration my own painting, which began when I was 59 years old. And I'd always wanted to paint, but I'd never been free. Somehow I had to get free to just think that time was there to do that, and to sit down and do it, and not think about having to be somewhere else or worry about doing it or what was going to come out. I don't know how one gets free, but if one is free, then I think he expresses himself in all kinds of action and in all kinds of ways, what we call the artistic, the creative. Now today I wanted to talk about love as union with other people. As love for me has a very definite structure. It's a sentiment, but it's more. And friendship is really what I want to talk about today. It's more than friendship, but it's a question of sharing. How do we get free to share? For about 15 years of my life, I really lived on the notion that what was important in life was to share. That is, to share one's feelings, one's ideas, one's meanings, the depths of one's appreciations. And what was important was to get free enough from one's fears and anxieties and hang-ups to share with other people. So, if for example, if one were thinking about friendship, you don't go out and make friends, but friends are gifts. They are gifts of sharing. They are gifts of love. That is, they are gifts of moving out toward people because of things, actually. You can love things. You can unite with things. But in friendship, you move out toward people because people are there. And they are gifts to you. And if you move out toward them without any regard to what you get out of it, then a friendship may occur. It may not occur. The Stoic says, joy is the movement toward things and persons because of what they are, not because of what you get out of them. And friendship is the result of sharing. You can't make a friend, but everybody can share of his existence. And sharing is listening as well as sharing oneself. That is, sharing the process of becoming a part of each other is a two-way affair. And many of us have real trouble listening to anyone else. Some people are just a stream of giving. Now, I want to try an experiment today. This occurred to me last night when I was thinking, I've never tried it before. I've suggested that people try. I used to suggest to my classes when I was teaching at Denison that if you're going out with somebody and you don't really want to go out with him, take this notion of just trying to share and see whether you can have a good time in spite of the fact, you know, you take a date or something when you aren't, oh, for all kinds of reasons. You're not very happy with it, but you get yourself caught. I said, try this. So I've tried to get people to experiment with it. But today I'd like to have you pick out somebody here that you don't know. And I'm going to take quite a little time. Sarah said it'd be too much time. 15 minutes, that seems like a long time. And I want one person for 15 minutes only to ask questions of the other person. For 15 minutes. Now that may be too much of a threat to you. Now the other person, of course, is going to have to answer questions for 15 minutes. But I was thinking that I think in only two situations since I've been up here has anybody asked penetrating questions or meaningful questions or really things that have opened me up. They're all kind of on the surface. Now, on the surface may be the only thing you can do. And I don't want to get us too hung up with what we do. I think there's a real art to asking questions and listening. And what I'm trying to get at, see, is the process of sharing, the process of moving toward another person, in such a way that that other person becomes important to you. And if that other person is important to you, and just as a person, then 15 minutes is no time at all. I was talking to Tom last night for about 40 minutes. I only got started finding out about his existence. I don't know what it takes to ask questions. And it takes really the freedom, you see, to love. That is to move toward another person. It takes that kind of freedom and that kind of being that just is so alive that it wants to relate. And it wants to relate by virtue of trying to get the sharing process to operate. That is to get the sharing of all kinds of experiences, feelings, and then the miracle is, and I really believe it's the miracle of life, it is a miracle that out of it frequently comes undreamed of relations that are meaningful. But one isn't entering into this conversation now for any reason except kind of to experiment with the process and to see what it might mean on the one hand. Now, it'd be nice if we could reverse that, but we can't. I don't think we have time to reverse it. So each one had the opportunity to be the asker or the... is that too much of a threat for you to do this? I see what it requires really is that one person doesn't say very much in reply, but kind of really follows, listens, gets the feelings of people, and asks things that push in directions that have already opened up. You've got to really listen. You know, you can have a series of gimmick questions you ask people, but if you listen to them, then you begin to follow. Now, let's just try that for fun. I really would like to see what happens. Then we'll come back and we'll talk a little about how we felt in this situation and what were the issues involved. There may be long moments of silence almost, you see. Now, silence is creative, so don't worry about silences. Some people just can't stand silences. And it may take you a while, and you may be a little embarrassed about it, but why don't we try it? I know it's a kind of a gimmick, but I want to try to get us into the real issues that are involved in relating to people, at least the issues that I see. So let's pick somebody we don't know and move off a little so you can try it. And if it gets too embarrassing, you know, you can just come to me and say, we just can't stand it, let's quit.
So many of us know each other, that we'll have to be this group with
pick the young people then, you know, let's get people you don't know. I think actually that would be a very good thing. Now, I wonder if you have anything you want to say in terms of what you discovered, what you didn't discover, just ordinary, just like any conversation, any feelings? Draw any conclusions?
I guess I felt in a way it was a bit contrived because you, for one, removed all the social kind of conversational unstated laws that there are when you go out into conversational world, you know. So, like, if I went up, let's say, to Mary the first day I met her and said, who do you feel is the strongest person in your life? You know, that's okay for him here because you removed that. But if I would ask Mary that, you know, just meeting her.
I set up some conditions which permitted you a freedom that you wouldn't have.
Right.
And now, why would you? It takes a lot of energy to deal with people this way. Because you have to concentrate, don't you? You have to follow a conversation. It isn't like you're sitting at the table and in between bites of food you can say hi and something like that. It may get involved a little. I find I get very discouraged in any public meeting or any social gathering frequently because I try to relate to everybody. It's like a church, you try to say hello to everybody. And the net result is you come away without knowing anything significant about anybody. So I really have a conscious policy of concentrating always. Either You just can't relate to everybody. You can't share with everybody or you share with nobody, I think. I think that that's true of Holden. And it was really too much when people were coming in and out of here, you know, 50, 60, 70 a day. They seemed to be new and old. You got to, somehow, but one could have dealt with that by not feeling the necessity to relate to anybody, but kind of concentrating on a few people. So that the sharing, I think what I learned and still stuck with me for all these years was that the important thing is to open up the channel for communication at a deep level. Now, that doesn't mean you're always opening up for a deep level, but it's to open up the channels, and it may go that way if you're receptive and if you're not afraid. So if it were an ordinary conversation, you might well make a remark which would take the conversation off just the trivia about yourself. When people used to ask me what I was or where I was, you know, I would say, well, I'm a painter. You know, they want to know, well, who I am. I'd say, I'm a painter. And I was trying to break through some of the stereotypes. I work here, I live here, I go to this church and so forth. To be free, to be, as a matter of fact, is to love. And to love is to unite with the world. And one of the forms of union is philia, the union with people. There are other forms of love too. We were really talking about eros yesterday, the union with form, or the way we express ourselves in form. But what we're talking about today is what the Greek word is philia, that is to unite with other people. And the union with other people is accomplished by communication. And the communication is, I think, well, part of just being, is to be free to communicate and not to communicate too much. If you communicate too much, you can communicate with other people through books. It's not only, there's a sense in which you're living with other people through books. You can't read too much or you don't have anything. See, Wyman said that it's a process of sharing and then it's a process of integration. Now, if you begin to learn about somebody, but you forget what that person said, which I do frequently, I frequently say, Sarah always remembers about people. I have a nice theory about communication, but I don't really love because I'll forget it. It won't mean enough to me frequently, so I will remember it. So I integrate it. Now, if you're going to integrate in your life, you're going to think about that person later. Or you're going to think about that experience. You're going to think about that book. Or you're going to think about that movie. You're going to think about the expression, whatever it was where there was communication. And it's going to be integrated into your life somehow. So it's there. It's not just a matter of sharing, because you can go around and share and have nothing left, really. There is no union. To unite with something is to feel it. It's really, we say love, it's to cherish it. It's to really hang on the words of another person. Because for some reason or other, that person is a part of the created being of which we're all a part. And somehow that you're opening up your own being by that kind of sharing. So the second kind of element is, and they're all mixed in, is integration. Now, if you have that kind of integration and the world opens up to you, it just becomes a new world. And then, as a part of that, friendship. I use friendship to say union. Then you are really, in fact, you've actualized what I would say is a basic kind of belongingness that we have through God to each other, but you have actualized it in this process, and so you really belong to each other. It seems to me that that's what we mean by love as philia. I don't know how you get the freedom to do that. There are all kinds of blocks. We're afraid we're empty, probably. I don't know whether it's a threat to some of you to have people ask questions, really, about yourself. I had a student who was thinking about coming to school and study with me, and the kinds of questions he asked me really were so penetrating, I wanted to run away. You know, after a while I began to feel I was empty. I didn't want to ask any more questions because I was kind of afraid. I think sometimes you're afraid you're empty. So you're actually, but I think a great deal of the time we don't share. There's some who share all the time. They just talk all the time. And you wonder whether they really are trying to relate to you. I think it's not just communicating. It's communicating in the context of a real concern. It seems to me that some people talk without ever wondering whether the other person has asked the question. And it seems to me if you answer a question that isn't asked, you aren't listening.
Someone shared with me one time that they went through a reception line and they were tempted to say, everybody goes, how do you do, all the way down, and how are you, oh just fine, thank you, and the next person was going to say, the question was asked, and how is your mother, instead of saying, just fine, she died in the bathtub this morning, how do you do, thank you, good, and then they went right around the other way. Is that true?
Yeah.
Can that be possible? Do we not hear that much?
Yeah, some of those formal occasions really are difficult, but that's kind of typical. I mean, the reception, there is a sense in which much of our life can be reception lines when we aren't in the reception line. We're not in the reception line, but we're responding to each other that way. And I can ask a person's name, and the next second I've forgotten about it because it just wrote with me. Just wrote. I just think I ought to know everybody's name up here, and I ask it, and then I'll have to ask the next second. I just don't pay any attention to it. But I was trying to get at that reverse kind of thing. It's the person who doesn't care enough about the other person's questions to answer the questions, but just talks. I think that's a reverse side. Some people never ask you a question. I think we get all wrapped up, you see, in ourselves. We get all wrapped up in ourselves. And so we really aren't moving out to unite with anybody. We are really dead in that kind of situation, I think. We are dead if we are not moving out toward other people and other things because of what they are and not because of what we get out of them, you see. It's you don't go out somehow to make a relationship, I think. You go out with a notion that sharing is an important creative process. And so you're trying to find a way to open up sharing. We used to have a faculty meeting when I was teaching at Denison, and another guy and I would agree on the questions we were going to ask before we got there. So we get people talking about something important instead of a lot of the trivia. And so we would ask each other the question kind of. Well, it was kind of artificial, really. But the problem was, how do you get things talked about which are significant among people so the meanings of their existence begin to relate them to each other? And everybody has something important to share if he'd let it come out, and if other people would seek it out. And I found it's just amazing the depths of people. If and somehow the problem in loving is to communicate, get the process somehow of communication. Now, this can happen in many ways. For example, I got free enough, and I don't know why I got free enough. I never write any letters, never wrote letters in my life. And about 3 years ago, I had some reason for doing it, because of my divorce and so forth. And it was a very crucial time. But I started writing, and now we write, I suppose, to 150 families. It's one letter. It's 7 or 8 pages. Single space typed, sometimes 5 or 6, but it's a substantial letter, and we try to talk about what's significant to us. Now, some of it is what you'd call trivia, but what's bugging me, or what experiences we've had. Now, that takes a great deal of yourself to write that kind of a letter. If you have to sit down and write it to even three or four people, you get tired of hearing yourself write. But we found, and lots of people don't write back. You see, it isn't important whether or not they respond or not, and it takes a great deal of courage frequently. I go through the list each time, and I make a decision almost with a lot of people whether I'm going to write or not, whether I ought to risk writing to them and exposing the way I'm feeling. I'm not sure I want to risk it. And so sometimes I don't send it to some people. Then we put a note on the bottom of it. That's communication. That's the kind of sharing that is love, I think, at this level of philia. It's the attempt to communicate the things that are important to you and the kind of experiences that kind of are meaningful to you with each other. Now that, of course, presupposes that you have some things to communicate. And of course, that's what I'm talking about the rest of the week. Now, it's clear that you will have some things to communicate with each other if you communicate the way you began to communicate today with each other. You'll have some significant things to talk about to other people.
That is, I think, just the very process of sharing at depths opens up all kinds of things that you want to talk about and meanings. All of this, of course, is all, you know, I'm just throwing it out. I'm no expert on this. I don't know who's an expert on this. You've got all kinds of people who think they're experts on everything. What I'm trying to do is to just share with you some things that have been significant to me and some freedoms that have developed for me to sit down and do that kind of thing. Now, I don't know what it is that gives one the freedom to sit down and write a letter. Some people write letters all the time. Some people write letters without much content all the time, or most of the time. It's not easy to write a letter with content, with meanings. And I don't mean that some of the ordinary things that are happening aren't meaningful. Because if you're not hearing from many people, anything is meaningful. You know, just the fact to get a letter is meaningful. What I would like to encourage myself to do more is to find a way to communicate,
to share, and it isn't the fact that you're doing the communicating, because if you are really concerned with the process, you are concerned somehow to free other people to share with you and not to be afraid and to communicate. Well, what we've been talking about today then is the freedom to love. Love as philia, love as the movement toward other people because they're people, without any regard to what you're going to get out of it, but with the sense that if you move toward them, if you share with them, that God will make the increase in all kinds of strange ways. And it's the concern for the sharing and not for yourself or what's coming out of it that frees you somehow. It's that freedom, that belief somehow that you were meant to share in spite of rebuffs, in spite of all your fears and anxieties, that you are free somehow to share. And in that sharing will come life that I wanted us to think about today. And tomorrow, we'll talk about the freedom to love as knowing. Many times we don't think of loving as knowing. But to know is to unite, to experience the world, to accept and receive the world is to love the world. And so we're going to talk about all kinds of things that we love, like birds, by knowing, by perceiving, by receiving them. So, okay, till 3 o'clock tomorrow.